So here's what's going to happen tonight and for the next 8 weeks, at least. We're going to be starting a series called Refresh and Connect, and it's making disciples who make disciples. And when we're all together like this, I think this is a good place to start, because we're going to start with the fundamentals of the faith. And we're going to start with the things that make our beliefs what they are. And it's going to be an eight-week series, and we're going to go through these books. And we have a book for each and every one of you that you're going to get to keep and write in and scribble all over and all of that stuff. And these were made, written, designed just for us. And it's discipleship is really the idea behind it, which really just means growing in your faith, growing in your faith. If you're not growing toward the Lord and you're not growing in your faith, then really what's the point, right? We should at least be wanting to get to know the Lord more every single day. And to do that, that's going to start with discipleship and with growth. And so I want to start off with this verse in Romans 12:2. You've probably heard it many times because we use it all the time. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And this renewing of our mind and being transformed by the things that we know and by gaining knowledge, these are the ways that we can grow closer to the Lord and to know why we believe what we believe. That's a big part of this. You guys know what happens when you click refresh in a browser, right? When you're on a web browser, right? It brings in new code. It brings in all new code, and the changes that have been made on a website will then show up because we've clicked refresh. And this is something that we should be doing every day with the Lord. Something that we should be doing every day is clicking refresh with God by getting into his word and seeing what he has for us that day and then growing in that regard. Colossians 3:10 says, "And we put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." So being renewed daily and growing and changing ourselves. I wouldn't say any of us here would say we're happy necessarily, don't take this the wrong way, but happy with where we are in our relationship with God and as ourself. And I don't mean that in maybe a dark way, but in a way where you can go, no, I'm not content where I'm at. Hopefully none of you are content where you're at. You're like, yeah, me and God, we're good, we're fine. I don't need to know anything more. I'm spiritually mature. I'm fine. Like, if you're saying that, you're not, okay? So this is part of growth. So why is this important? Think about this for a second. Why is this important? Why would we start here? Why is this idea of growing and renewing in knowledge an important place to start? Well, it's because it's the fundamentals. The fundamentals are important. How many of you play sports? Any kind of sports? So in any kind of sport that you do, any kind of activity that's like that, you still do the fundamentals, right? The fundamentals, like the basics. If you're playing basketball, you still shoot free throws. You never get to a place where you're like, yep, I'm good. I don't need to do free throws anymore. You know what I mean? No matter what it is that you play, even Michael Jordan used to shoot like 100 free throws every single day up until the day he retired, and he might still do that now. LeBron, I know, does all the fundamentals and stuff every single day. That's why he's the best. Whether he's playing for us or not. And the thing is, if we don't have the fundamentals down, the rest of it doesn't matter as much because we don't know the basics of those things. And we don't want to get caught not knowing why we believe what we believe. I remember being in a situation where that happened to me. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a conversation with somebody where they ask you why you believe what you believe, whether it's maybe a specific thing, a specific aspect of your faith. But I have been. I've told this story a couple times, so I'm not going to tell the whole thing. But essentially, I was at college, and I went to a Bible study, and I made a comment about eternal security, which is something we're going to talk about next week, which basically means you can lose your salvation or you can't lose your salvation. Where do you fall on that? The Bible is very clear, by the way, on eternal security, that you cannot lose your salvation, that once you are saved, you are always saved. And we're going to talk about that, as I said, next week. But I didn't know why. I knew that because I grew up in church, but I couldn't defend it. There was also the discussion in here about the idea of baptism and that you have to be baptized to be saved, and that's also not true. The Bible's very clear on that baptism is not 100% necessary. Well, it's not necessary for salvation at all. And there's people that were telling me that it was. No, you have to be baptized to be saved. In which case, I said, well, then I'm going to live in a baptismal and just get baptized about every 30 seconds because I'm not a perfect person. I didn't know why. I didn't know how to defend it. And I got caught in a situation where, like, everybody else in the room, it was almost like they were waiting on me. You ever been in that situation where, like, it just seems like everybody was, like, prepared to just, like, jump on you? You know what I mean? And, like, I made a comment. I'm like, no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And everybody in the room's like, you know, and I'm just like, oh, and but I had no idea what to do. I'm just like, well, you're dumb. Like, I had nothing. I had no way to, like, respond. But I remember being almost angry when I walked out. In fact, I really was angry, if I'm being honest, because I got caught not knowing how to defend my faith and how and why. I knew that that's what the Bible said, but I didn't know why. And I didn't know how to defend that. And you, I'm telling you right now, everybody look at me. You're going to be in a situation. It may not be this year. It may not be this week. It may not be 5 years from now. But you're going to get in a spot where you're going to need to know why you believe what you believe. And you can't just go, well, because Jay said. Or because, you know, because Larry said. Or because Mikey said. Or because J-Dob said. Or whatever. Or because my dad said. Or whatever it is. That's not, no. You need to say because you know why you believe what you believe. And because God said. And that you have that understanding and that knowledge. It's important. Look at 1 Peter 3:15 through 16. This is a great passage that was quoted to me when I went through that circumstance because I was able to call my dad and go, Dad, I don't know what to say. And he kind of helped me out there. I was fortunate enough to have a dad that could explain that to me. And he gave me this verse. He said, and if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. So that's why this book is important. That's why going through this and us starting here together as a group, right? As a church family, as a student ministries family, to understand why we believe what we believe. It's huge, guys, especially going into school because we'll have this book completed before you start school, hopefully. And you'll be able to go in with confidence, not to pick a fight with people, not to walk in like a holier than thou freak and, you know, start telling people, you know, thus saith the Lord. Like, that's not the point, okay? Right? That's not the point. So let's start with our first topic, week one. We're talking about the gospel. Will the real gospel please stand up? We're talking about the gospel. Because that's the essence of everything. That's what this is all about, is the gospel. So if I were to say the gospel, what is the gospel? Somebody describe it to me. What is the gospel? Yeah.
It's pretty much, I had the Gutterson.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a sec. But, like, think about that. Like, you hear that word, the gospel, right? So what is the gospel? How do you explain the gospel? Do you really know what it is? Anybody know what gospel means? Yeah. Okay, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. That's a good place to start. Sure. So the gospel, does anybody know what gospel actually means? Good news. It means good news, right? If you've never seen this video before, I'm going to show you this video. It's a fantastic video, and it breaks it down. We've got a whole area over there that's about this. You may have seen this before. It's phenomenal. This explains everything to you. Check it out.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God, the maker and giver of life, and by life I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans, God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold, it's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond, creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job, an odd list of complaints, as if the system ain't working, and used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited. Black in the human heart, it was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like defending a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer, an asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God, and the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe, but all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank, but you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated, and the only way to fix it is someone die in your place, and that someone gotta be perfect, or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered, because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, bloodstained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
That doesn't get you pumped, I don't know what will. That's just awesome, right? That's the gospel. It's the greatest story ever told. I love how he says the greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. Did you catch that one? Who hardly ever tells it? Us, right? Why? Because we don't entirely get it. Because we don't entirely know it all. If the Bible is God's word, right? Here's a couple of things for you in terms of like being able to like know why you believe what you believe. And these aren't just bullets for your gun to get into an argument, like I said, but it's just things to strengthen your faith. And hopefully that's what this is. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. I don't know if you knew that. The best-selling book of all time. Claims to be inspired by God, written by 40 men on 3 different continents over the course of 1,500 years, and there are no contradictions in it whatsoever. It all agrees with itself. All the subjects agree with itself. That's crazy that that's even a thing. It's full of prophecy that is very specific. Over 300 prophecies specifically made about Christ, all right? And they all come true. The odds of 48 of those, just 48 of those, coming true, 1 in 10 to the 157th power. That's 1 in 10 with 157 zeros behind it. That's a number I don't know. It's a big number. But these are strong, strong indications that the Bible is actually God's word, yeah? It's some evidence, if you will, and that's not it. That's not even close. That's just a few things. But it all starts with the gospel. It all starts with the gospel and the basics of that and understanding that. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And so if you had to say the gospel in one verse, because we've got it kind of in one sentence, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life, life in six words. That's what all that over there is about. And that's where we've got some resources and stuff for you guys to be able to reach your friends with the gospel. As we go through this series, we're gonna talk through more of those kinds of things as well. But if you were to sum up the gospel in one verse, I've got a couple of those for you to just simplify it. Romans 6:23 is a great one. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wages meaning payment, right? The payment of our sin is death, but the gift of God, and a gift is a free, it's something that's given to you. You can't pay for it or it's not a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the gospel in one verse. Here's another one, 1 Corinthians 15. And this is Paul talking, and he's talking about the most important things. He says, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. The most important thing, he says, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel right there as well. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, God is at the center of the human story. From your beginning to, well, you won't have an end because we're all gonna live eternally somewhere. But God is involved in the story from the very beginning. And he wants it to be personal. That's the thing. He wants it to be personal and individual. Personal and individual. And so here's a question. Is God personal to you? Honestly, think about that for a second. Is your relationship with God, is it personal to you? Or is it just a thing that you do? Is this just something that you do? Is this just something that looks good on your Instagram story or whatever? Is it a thing that you do, or is it personal? Is it who you are? And is he part of your story? You want a good verse to memorize? John 3:16. I hope you all know it. But did you realize it is as cliche as this verse gets? It's the whole gospel in one verse. It's the, as I said, our first time that we all got together, it's the verse that's the best connection verse in the Bible, because that's what it's all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the gospel. So the connection point before we break into our groups, because we're gonna break into small groups, and we're gonna go through these books in small groups. So here's the connection point. What does the gospel mean to you? Ponder this for a second. Think about this for a minute. Let this marinate. What does the gospel mean to you? What does the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of eternal life, what does that mean to you? Probably means something a little bit different to every one of us. And that's okay. Because it's personal. It's individual. Maybe it means nothing to you. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know how to verbalize it. Our hope for this week is that this will give you a vehicle to help you answer that question, or maybe even just answer that question, period, for you to be able to move toward answering that question. And so I'm gonna pray, and we're gonna dismiss into groups. And the way we're gonna do groups is I'm gonna ask middle school students, when I say amen, to head over to the hub, and we'll divide you guys into groups over in the hub, which the hub is our game room, for those of you if you don't know that. And the high school students, we're gonna stay here in this side, and we're going to divide up into groups here, and we're going to hand out these books and pens to everybody, and you guys are just going to go through the first two pages together. Will the real gospel please stand up? And there's verses in there for you guys to look at to go through the study questions with about what the Bible says about the gospel, and I hope you guys have some great discussion and you're willing to ask and engage and talk, answer questions, ask questions. Make the gospel personal to you. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for the good news of the gospel. I thank you that it's available for everyone. And I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us, to take our place, and then to conquer sin and death and to raise from the grave, Lord. And you're coming back to get us one day. God, what an awesome day that's going to be. Lord, I thank you for this time that we have together tonight that we've had so far, and this time that we have to spend in small groups diving into your word. So I pray that we would do that. Pray that we could all engage and learn, and that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, you would speak to each and every one of us and show us something that we need to apply to our lives this week as we talk about the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.